something amazing is happening. This is the word convergence. You know, your eyes, you know, both have to be focused and targeted, amen, to see clearly. So if you're focused, amen, it means that both of your eyes are in alignment and focusing on the same thing, amen, and then it reflects back into your retinas, I guess. But convergence is another illustration would be if you have two rivers, okay, that are coming together. Now, I believe that God has spoken to me about this generation, that even though we're not seeing much movement right now, but it's beginning to happen, amen, in the colleges. As a matter of fact, it went from just, I think, 2 weeks ago, 6 or 7 universities to over 21 as of the 28th, universities that are in revival right now. God is moving. And I believe what's been happening is the convergence is between the generations. That those men of the previous move, the Jesus movement, amen. Some of you are here today that were part of that, amen. And Calvary Chapel and all that. That God has kept you by his grace because you know it's authentic when a person is still walking with Jesus, amen. You know that's a real revival, amen. And I believe there's a convergence of the two moves that God, no matter what man does, they're not going to be able to contain what God is going to do. God is pouring out his spirit. God has chosen to do this. And no one, I don't care how much negativity comes against this, they're not going to be able to stop what God is doing. Amen. And God is going to have his way in the earth. And so in the midst of that, you're going to see the flesh. Amen. They're not compatible. Okay, the flesh and the spirit, but they do commingle. They're not compatible, but the flesh and the spirit commingle. Every morning when you look in the mirror, you're seeing a combination. Amen. The inner man and the outer man, all right? And so the key is to get the outer man out of the way and submitted to, amen, the inner man in Christ. But there, I believe, is a coming together where the hearts of the fathers are turning to the children and the children to the fathers. There's a convergence. And God dropped that in. And then I've been getting other stuff that people have said. And in fact, you came out with it this morning, Jonathan, and saying the same thing. Basically, there's a coming together. And last Sunday night, it's just like I had this revelation. I was like, and we have some young people that are coming up. And God is touching them. God is marking this generation. Oh, praise God. Now we've been praying for revival. Hallelujah. Well, what does it look like? Well, it looks like transformation. It looks like repentance. Amen. It looks like people are under the power, the awe of God. Amen. And that the fear of God comes upon people. Amen. And they all of a sudden, they just know that they're sinful. Nobody even had to tell them they were sinful, but God, by his Spirit, reveals that fact to people. Amen. And that's what we need is the move of God, the sovereign move of God, even in the Northwest. It'll be so powerful that people are going to be walking down the streets and they're going to be arrested by the Spirit of God. And they're going to say, Lord, what must I do to be saved? So we're praying. We're in agreement here. Amen. I know that you all want revival. Amen. And God is pouring out his spirit, but God has more on the way. And I believe that we need to contend. We need to be faithful to continue to pray, to seek the Lord. Amen. And I'm asking everybody to pray daily. Amen. For revival in this nation. Okay. Hallelujah. And in our church as well. Amen. Because it's the Lord. It's the presence of the Lord that's going to make the difference. I've said it before, but Jesus is perfect theology. Amen. The Pharisees had theology, but they didn't know, amen, the word that became flesh. And he was the fulfillment of that which was written. And today the same thing is happening in many circles. People are talking about Jesus, learning about Jesus, but never coming to know Jesus. And so the written word is to always reveal the living word, amen, so we may know Jesus personally. Because if you have him, you have life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. In him is life. He is our life. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, if you're a good father, amen, you'll give good gifts to your children. Amen. You're not going to give them something that's going to hurt them. Amen. If you're asking for bread, he'll give you bread. Amen. So you don't have to worry about getting a demon. If you're seeking the Lord Jesus, amen. Some people have become demon phobic. They're so afraid. Sometimes we put more faith in the fact that we could be deceived than in God's ability to keep us and protect us. Some of you have been walking with the Lord many years, and you know it's by the grace of God that you are who you are today. Amen. It's not because you were so special or so righteous, but you realize that God was special and he was the righteous one. And in him, I become righteous. I become like him. And so then I can reflect him because I'm becoming more like him. I'm being changed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. When we pray for revival, guys, what we're really asking is for more of Jesus. It's really a matter of God having more of us. If we're full of us, we can't be full of him. And one of the characteristics I see of this move that's happening right now is that no man is being put in the spotlight. Except one, the man Christ Jesus. This is about Jesus. And that's the way it's got to be with every one of us individually. Amen. We've got to make this always about Jesus and not about us. Even the Apostle Paul, when he spoke about all of his accomplishments, he was very careful to say, I'm speaking as a fool now. When he boasted about what he was doing, because there were people that were exalting themselves, okay, and not allowing God to do it. And they were deceiving people and pulling people away after themselves and not after Christ. And so Paul stepped in and validated basically his apostleship by all the accomplishments and also the things that he suffered for the Lord. But he was very careful to say, I'm speaking as a fool. Amen. He's not up there talking about all of his great accomplishments. Amen. And as you know, the Holy Spirit always points to who? Jesus. He doesn't point to the vessel. He points to the Lord of the vessel. Amen. But we get to be vessels for Jesus. And that's the fun thing, the exciting thing. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm enjoying my journey with Jesus. It's so much better. Amen. And I used to party pretty hardy in the world until I met Jesus. And now my life is filled with Jesus. Amen. And I don't need the inferior stuff. Amen. Leaves no regrets. But you're not going to know until you taste. And you know what's happening is God is just sovereignly captivating people, getting a hold of them. I remember hearing one report, this one guy that came down to visit what was happening in Asbury, and he says, I went in there thinking that I'm doing pretty good, but I just kind of wanted to go in and observe, and God whacked him good. He was a mess. And he said, I became so aware of all the stuff that I thought, you know, was taken care of that wasn't. And the conviction of God came upon him so much that he was just broken. And he knew that he just needed Jesus. Amen. And that, you know, sometimes, guys, let's face it, we can be full of ourselves more than we realize we are. I got a little quieter on that one. But, you know, but the Holy Spirit has a way of keeping us humble. And I would rather humble myself than be humbled. But if you're a child of God, he will humble you if you need it. He will take you out behind the shed if you need it. Did I say the shed? What's the shed behind me? What we need is to know God, to know Jesus. This is eternal life. And we need an encounter. And we need to be encountering God. The name of the message this morning, the title is Encountering Love. Encountering Love. Revival is really encountering God Himself. I'm going to share a really deep revelation with you this morning. People don't need a pep rally. I mean, yeah, you can get excited about the music. And we can whip a crowd into almost a frenzy. You know, some people have learned how to do that effectively. And maybe not even intentionally, but people don't need another program. They don't need a pep rally. They just need Jesus. Amen. They need God. And somebody said it this morning, which is another confirmation, that you cannot manufacture revival. We set dates where we're going to have revival. And often we have great meetings. Why? Because everybody begins to expect and to pour into it. And they begin to pray and seek the Lord for that. Amen. And then as soon as the meeting's over, everybody just kind of backs off and say, well, we had our revival. And we have this mentality of just events, you know, having an event mentality rather than a visitation and a habitation of God that's continuing. Amen. And as we sow in the Holy Spirit, it begins to grow and it becomes more, you know, prevalent and it begins to spread. And again, when God begins to move, you can't put a cap on it. I mean, people in this city need to encounter God. Amen. And many of them are never going to come into a church, but God can arrest them right where they're at. Amen. And then change their mind and say, you know what? I want to be with God's people now. Amen. And the church needs to be changed too. Amen. The church needs to change its attitude about people. Amen. People, Jesus loves people. Amen. He loves sinners. He loves broken people. Amen. And that's who we are. Hallelujah. So people are going to have their flaws. They're going to have their idiosyncrasies. They're going to have their habits. Amen. They're going to have their personality traits that you may not necessarily like. But with the love of God, you can love people that you wouldn't like. With the love of God, you can love people that you wouldn't like. Thank you, Lord. I think I'll keep that one. That was a good one. Somebody had sent me this. Paul sent me this. And I just want to quickly go through. This is an article. The characteristics of an authentic revival. Looking across history, genuine revival always shows the following characteristics. Those who participate enter into concerted prayer and fervent praise. Always going to be foundational. Amen. They sense the presence of God powerfully. They respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction with sincere repentance. That's true revival. There is a thirst for God's word. People begin or renew an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ. People share personal testimonies with deep gratitude. People leave with a new passion for sharing the gospel and living the Christian life. When Elijah was in the cave and encountered God, it was not in the fire. Amen. Not in the wind. But he came at that time, even though Elijah had known the Lord in the fire. Amen. And in the wind. But this time he came, what? As the still small voice. And people are stressed out about everything. Life has got people so stressed out that God is bringing a rest to his people. Because it's out of rest where we're going to be able to hear and see clearly and represent Christ, amen, authentically by the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Guys, we cannot love authentically apart from God. Amen. So we need our lives to be filled with all of Him so that we will love with the love of the Lord. So it's no longer about me, but it's about others. In America, what I notice the most, at least here in this area, is there are a lot of just backslidden Christians. You know, people who once walked with God or once knew or had received the Lord maybe when they were young, but they walked away. That is mostly what I encounter when I run into people. They've heard the gospel. They've had it shared, or maybe at one time they were serving the Lord, but they've backslidden. They've fallen away. They've left their first love. There are many backslidden Christians in America. This is a good question to ask ourselves. Have I left my first love? How many realize that that's a very important question to ask and to answer? How many know the Lord does not want us lukewarm? How many remember the church of Ephesus? I want to talk about a little bit this morning again. Had left its what? First love. By all indications, this church was hardworking. They had been faithful. They'd been patient. And they couldn't bear those who were evil. They would expose and they wouldn't tolerate false teachers. They had somewhat a discerning ability to pick that out, to know that. And they were morally upright for the most part. And so in Revelation 2:2, the Lord commended them, okay, for some of their qualities. Because these were good qualities, you know. But they weren't the most important qualities. How many knew you can have all the things of God but not possess God? How many of you can act like a Christian and not be a Christian? I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. This is commendable. This is good. And he said, you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. But then after he had commends them, he gently admonishes them in verse 4. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. How many know that the Lord is in love with you? That Jesus really loves you. He loved you before you ever called on Him, before you ever did anything for Him. Amen. Before you ever went to church, maybe. He loved you first. He sought us out. We didn't look for Him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. For God so loved the world that He gave. Even when we weren't interested. As a matter of fact, we didn't even know what we wanted. We just knew something was missing. Something was wrong. Something was broken. What does it mean to leave your first love? I mean, they were sound in doctrine, but they were distant from the Lord in their hearts. Hear me today. We can participate in all Christian things and yet be distant from God in our hearts. They were working hard for God. But they were no longer in love with God like they were in the beginning. The fire of their affection for God had died down. In other words, they no longer had a burning passion for the Lord Himself. They were just going through the motions. They were playing church. But they weren't the church. Because the Lord warned them that if they didn't repent, that he would remove their lampstand. They would lose their light. And as you know, today, if you go to Ephesus, there's nothing but ruins there. Because they didn't heed the word of God. Question, can I love God more? I got my hand up. Yes, and the more you encounter Jesus, the more love you will have for him and for others. But guys, we got to get out of our own head. In our own head, we try to figure everything out, and we have a set pattern of things that we expect God to live according to. And we expect God to do certain things for us because that's what we would have for ourselves. And as if the creation has more wisdom than the Creator and knows what's best for us. How many know God knows what's best? And just because we don't understand what he's doing doesn't mean that God somehow has changed his character. He's no longer good. Amen. It's just we don't understand all of his ways because his ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But we have to go back and remember the cross and remember what Jesus did and how he demonstrated his love for us in the cross, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Remember the love that God has demonstrated for you. So when you don't understand with your mind, you have to trust and know that God's heart is good. All of us have had disappointments. All of us have had things happen that we didn't want for us. We were expecting a different outcome because we thought, well, if God were good, he would do it my way. And you know, if we're not careful, if we get inside our head, guys, and we don't get into the heart of God, amen, where you're going to find rest for your soul, amen, and where you can just let it all go, amen, and know that it's okay. Be still and know that I am God. The Lord said, I'll be glorified, amen. I'm going to take care of you. You won't lose your mind, but if you get in your head, you're going to start questioning. And that's when people get offended with God. God, if you were good, you would do this. You would do it my way. But don't we understand that God lives outside of time? He lives, you know, outside of that realm that we're walking in. And he sees the beginning from the end. Amen. He knows the future. And he's preparing a people. He's preparing us for eternity. Boot camp is not always comfortable. It's not easy. But it's necessary, amen, to produce a good soldier. Amen. That's going to have some character. That's going to be strong, amen? That's going to be trustworthy on the battlefield. And so God is conditioning his people for such a time as this because there is a harvest coming. And if you're willing to submit yourself to God, amen, and allow his program to work out in your life, God will use you. He can't use us, guys, if we're thin-skinned. If we, you know, cry over spilled milk, if you will. I don't always understand why, but I don't have to understand why. Because I believe God is good. His heart is always good. And he's working out something eternal. Something that will last forever. Here we have no continuing city. But we look for one to come. Sometimes we get bogged down in just the momentary things and the politics and all the craziness that's going on. Amen. And we can miss Jesus. We can get into a place where we're so stressed out. And we're so worried and we're so fearful that we start acting impulsively and we start reacting to situations rather than responding thoughtfully and prayerfully as the Lord would give you instruction. And you can protect yourself from making mistakes if you will operate from the place of rest. And God wants his people in rest. We're called to service, aren't we? Works are never to replace our love and affection for God himself. Ephesus was a busy church. They did a lot of stuff. It's possible to diligently serve the Lord and yet not be close to the Lord. And when we're not close to the Lord, we are really not benefiting anyone. Even though we may be doing all the right things, saying all the right things, teaching all the right things, if we're not close to the Lord, we're not benefiting anybody. Because people don't need us, they need Jesus through us. And when we're not close, we're not going to benefit anyone or be pleasing to the Lord. No matter how hard we work, because we think if I just work a little harder, do a little more, then God will like me a little more and life will be a little easier for me or whatever. Ever been there and think that way? I'm going to have an altar call here in just a minute. Luke 10:38. Now it happened as they went that he entered, Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha, how many remember this? Mary and Martha, welcomed him, Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Now, there's nothing wrong with good service. Amen. We're called to serve. And it's more blessed to serve than to be served. But she was distracted by serving. And she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? What's going on here? Martha's got, right? She's focused on herself. Therefore, tell her to help me. You see Jesus saying, yeah, you're right, Martha. Mary, why don't you go? No. Jesus was never controlled by people. He only did what he saw his father do and spoke what he spoke. Martha meant well, but she didn't realize that she was distracted by lesser things. Not bad things, lesser things. You and I can easily get distracted by lesser things, not necessarily bad things. But they're lesser things, and we can miss out on the best things. And therefore, she was unaware of her own need to be at Jesus' feet. Revival is about getting back to basics, really. Getting back to our first love. Sometimes you just got to hit the reset button and say, you know what, we got to shut it all down. I'm just too busy. Even sometimes when we worship, sometimes we can get in a rush with that and we're kind of like, the Holy Spirit is somewhere else. We're just running ahead of God here. Are you hearing me? We want to get into the place and find the rhythm of the Spirit and go with where He's leading us. And that takes some time sometimes. We start out, you know, let's face it. When Israel would praise the Lord, amen, they were singing music together, singing songs together. And what those songs did was unite them, unite their hearts, make them one, amen, through the songs that they would sing. But then there was these progressions that they would go, and they would go deeper as they entered closer and got closer and closer to the Temple Mount, amen. Then their songs would begin to shift to more of the holiness of God, amen. And then they would get into a place of deeper worship. And God wants to take us from the outer court into the inner court, out of a place of restlessness, out of a place of busyness, into a place of rest in Him, to where we're going to find our strength and we're going to have a renewed love and passion for the Lord, because you cannot encounter Jesus and not fall in love with Him. But if we have shifted away from that and now we're just doing Christian service and Christian things, not to say that those things should be neglected, but everything that we do should be out of a heart of love. Amen. That our hearts are consumed by the love of God and motivated by the love of God. So we're loving people with the love of God. And so it's not about building programs. It's about building people, because we love and care about people and we want to see them do well. Because if you do well, I do well. Psalms 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. I love this. There's fullness of what? Joy. How many got fullness of joy? How many could use some more joy? Okay. We haven't arrived, folks. There's more to come. But we have to be diligently seeking the Lord. Amen. The Lord is a rewarder of those who have diligently sought Him. Those who diligently seek the Lord. Those who seek will find. Amen. We want to get right up to the door and start knocking. Lord, open the door of heaven. Open the windows of heaven. Pour out your glory. Amen. Again, in America, on us, on your church. Wake up your church. Revive us again, Lord. Bring us back to our first love, where we're in love with you. We have a holy passion for you, a desire, hallelujah, to love you and to be with you and to be with your people and be involved in what you're doing. And out of a love for you, I serve. Out of a love for people, I serve. Luke 10:41, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Sometimes we can be like Martha. We just need to chill out and get into the Lord's presence. That's where we find rest and everything we need. Guys, it's not complicated, but we make it complicated. How many know that the gospel is so simple children can get it? We can learn from children, as a matter of fact. Keep it simple. Get back to basics. Get back to the heart, as a song, the heart of worship. And it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's easy, guys, to get caught up in just the program of things and miss the whole point. The point of life is Jesus. He is life. In Him we live. Hallelujah. The Lord does appreciate what we do for Him in works of service. Amen? According to His will. But He knows the first thing we need is to sit at His feet and to listen to His word. And like Martha, it's possible to have Jesus in your house and yet not be close to Jesus. Think about that. That was one of the things. Aaron, she was busy. She was serving. She was working. But Mary was right next to Jesus. And so in the midst of the busyness, and Jesus said, you're stressed out, Martha. You're worried about all these things. She's doing the more needful thing. Amen? And she was close to Jesus. So it's possible as believers, come on, to have Jesus in the house but not be close to the Lord. We can depart from the Lord in our hearts. We can do all Christian things and yet not be right with God. And God was telling the church at Ephesus that, guys, listen, you've left your first love. I miss you. You're doing all this stuff for me, but it's really about me and you together. Enjoying doing life together out of a relationship, a love relationship, we will bear the fruit of Him who is love. Do the first works. The Lord prizes our affection above our service. We need to know the love of God that passes knowledge. Ephesians 3:19. The love of God that does what? Passes knowledge. Our knowledge is to point us to Him. What is the greatest commandment of all? To love God and to love our neighbor, right? As ourself. How many know it's not enough to intellectually agree with Scripture? We got a lot of people that will intellectually agree and say, oh, that's good. That's good doctrine. That's good teaching. And I totally believe in good doctrine and teaching. Amen. However, if you miss Jesus and all of that, you've missed the point of it all. And you're not going to enjoy your journey because you're not doing it with Jesus. You're living in a distracted place like Martha, where you may be doing works of service, but you're not really walking with Jesus in the midst of that. Are you hearing me, somebody? So if we got to get back to our first love, I would encourage you, amen, to do that. Let's all get back to where we once walked, where our hearts were burning with a holy love and a holy passion for Jesus. Amen. And I believe God is doing that in this generation, that God is beginning to pour out His Spirit and He's beginning to waken people up inside. They're starting to realize, hallelujah, how distant they had been from God, and they're being humbled in His presence, and God is raising them up, hallelujah, in a new life. Hallelujah. Pouring His Holy Spirit into them. And it's spreading, praise God. Thank you, Lord. First Corinthians 13 and verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but what? Have not love. I am nothing. Have not agape. Who is agape? God is agape. The things of God are together with God. The heart needs to be changed. Our hearts need to be changed, and only God can do that. So the Lord admonished this church in Revelation 2 and verse 5, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. What are the first works? Love. Love for God. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Why would the Lord do that? Because He is being misrepresented by people who are operating in themselves and not in the Spirit of God. And they're tainting the testimony. Are you hearing me? God wants us immersed in Him so that we can bear His fruit in this life, amen, in this world. But if we miss Jesus in the midst of all the things that we do and the busyness and the, even praise God for all the good works that people do, how many know that that's just not sufficient in itself? Everything we do must be motivated by the Spirit of God, who is God, who is love. What was missing here was the passion that they once had. Oh, come on, when you first met your husband, you first met your wife, you first met your girlfriend, right? Yeah. Or your boyfriend or whatever. Come on. There's this love buzz, right? But how many know that love has to grow roots? Love has to go deeper, amen, than just the emotionalism of it. Amen. So we're not talking about just the emotionalism, amen, of a first love. But what it means is it's a deep commitment to one another. That I'm willing to lay down my life for you. I'm willing to give my life for a friend. If I love with the love of the Lord, I can bless those who curse me. If I love with the love of the Lord, I can pray for those who despitefully use me and persecute me. That doesn't mean that you make yourself a doormat for anybody. Amen. We'll go into that another time. But how many know that Jesus was love in person? And Jesus was hated because Jesus was strong. Because Jesus would not kowtow to the fear of man. He would not bow down to the demands of the crowd. He obeyed His Father. And He only sought to honor the Father in everything He did. And He received the strength that the Father had given Him. Amen. So that He could live a sinless life. When we pray for revival, again, what are we really praying for? More of Jesus. Because He is life. This Ephesus, this was a very influential city. And Paul had preached the gospel there. And the founding fathers of the church at that time had already passed away. And the second generation, listen, had lost their love and zeal for God. Do we not see those patterns generationally? Sometimes old generations, sometimes they're backslidden. They're away from God. But then God interrupts. God intervenes. God begins to pour out His Spirit. And all of a sudden, the dead bones come alive. Can these dead bones live? I don't know. This generation looks pretty dead. But God can resurrect dead bones. Amen? Amen. God can do it. And Lord, we're believing for that. That this revival is going to continue to spread and move throughout this nation. America is going to be transformed. God is marking this generation and He's raising them up. Hallelujah. How many know that God wants you to reach your greatest potential? He created you, amen, with a plan, with a purpose, and He's given you potential. And what you're called to be and called to do is bigger than you are naturally. So we come into His presence and we receive the grace and the help that we need. Amen. We find His mercy. Amen. We all need that. But by His grace, we are who we are today. And Paul the Apostle said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. And he says, it was not I, but it was the grace of God with me. That's the only way he could accomplish what he accomplished, is by the grace of God. We got to get back to the grace of God. We got to get back to the presence of the Lord. We've got to get hungry and thirsty for Him. Amen. And not just the things. Amen. We don't need more hype. We don't need more Christian entertainment. We need the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're God's vehicles for changing this world. And there's a common denominator in all the great revivals of history. And that is a great hunger for the presence of God. A great hunger for the presence of God. How many here are hungry for the presence of God? What does spiritual hunger look like? We sang it this morning in Psalms 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brooks. So pants my soul for you, O God. Oh. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Sound familiar? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with a multitude. Used to. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. They understood that they were passing through. They were a pilgrim people. Amen. This world was not their permanent home. And their hearts longed for Him. Hallelujah. The author and the finisher of their faith. Why are you cast down, O my soul? He's speaking to himself. And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Psalm 63:1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. He had a heart to know the Lord. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with what? Joyful lips. It doesn't matter where you're at today. God wants you to come back and to be brought back into a place of restoration, healing. Amen. And He wants to resurrect your life. He wants to revive you. And He wants you to know joy again, celebration again, hunger again, desire, holy desire, even to want the things of God, to be a part of what God is doing and to be with His people. How many know you, if you love Jesus, you want to be with Jesus' people. Amen. Psalms 84:1, how lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs. What does hunger look like? Yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Listen to Jesus. Mark 9:49, for everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it again? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. What does salt do? It adds flavor. Amen. It preserves from corruption and it creates thirst. How many know the Lord wants to salt you again and create a thirst in you again as you're tasting and seeing that the Lord is good and being reminded, oh yeah, I forgot. If you've done that, you've been away for a while, you've been distant from the Lord, maybe I've been in fellowship for a while, and you come in, you're like, oh yeah, I remember now. I didn't even know what I was missing, but now I'm reminded again what I was missing. You're coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about Jesus. My soul longs, he said. Salt is good, amen, and God's presence is a sweet savor. His presence is a preservative. Amen? It's a preserving force. And his presence creates more thirst for him. The reason why a lot of people are dry and dead and they've been that way for a long time is because they're not in a situation where people are really hungering and thirsting for God and calling in the glory of God, the presence of God. Are you hearing me? People go through the motions. They do Christian things. They have nice sermons. Are you hearing me? They do works of service. They have their offerings. They have their candle lighting or whatever it might be. They wear those pointy hats, you know. It makes you really spiritual. No, it doesn't. But what we need is Jesus. We need to get back to basics, back to the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus, isn't it? Hallelujah. I've never heard of anyone having too much of him. Could you use some more Jesus in your life? Amen. Hallelujah. So Lord, give me oil. Give me oil in my lamp. Hallelujah.